I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thanks for joining me again this week for another edition of our business show, Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. This is the offshoot business show from our very successful Tuesday podcast, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And you know that I always, on this show, I don't just like to give you the nuts and bolts of business and what can work in your business from the perspective of a client experience, but I always want to approach it from one of two viewpoints. One is, we always want to massively enhance customer value, and there are any number of ways that we can do that. And number two, which is really what I'm going to be getting into with my guest and my client today, how do we highlight the transformation that we're actually able to get for our clients? And so today I have Leslie Martin with me. She's in my mastermind. She's also working on an amazing retreat experience in Morocco coming up this fall, September, October 2025. And we're going to be speaking a little bit about that, but we're really going to be talking about a much bigger problem, I think, that a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs and service-based practitioners are running into today. And that is this whole idea that we have to be on all the time, that we have to be just producing more and working harder, and why that's actually not always the best approach. So, Leslie, thank you for coming on today.
Thank you, Allison, for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah. So let's talk just a little bit. I know you've been on my show before. I want to remind everybody that you and I actually met here, and that you, if they go back and search in past episodes, they can find a little bit more about you and your work. But tell us a little bit about what you're doing now first.
Okay. So I am by background a mental health professional, and I do run a counseling center locally in the community where I live, but I also really saw a need to try to help support people in a broader fashion than those that could come directly into my office. So during the pandemic, I think the beginning of 2022, I launched my coaching practice. And so that's pretty much where I'm focusing these days. And I primarily work with, sounds like a lot of your kind of clients, entrepreneurs, professionals, business owners, and I support them in kind of working through the things that are maybe holding them back from living the joyful and fulfilling life that they want for themselves, or enjoying the life that they've worked so hard to build. That they just, you know, aren't, because they're often overworking or just some other things getting in the way.
Right, right. And honestly, I think since the majority of people that listen to this show are also business owners, I think everyone listening can relate to that. I think if we're really being honest, we've probably all found ourselves in situations where we think the answer is to do more and work more and work harder. You know, I mean, how often do we hear that in our society that, well, you're just not working hard enough?
Right. And I know I've certainly been guilty of that. And it's something that I struggled with and sometimes still do, you know, in terms of running a couple businesses, is right, thinking that I just need to do more when, in fact, what I really need to do is constrain and do less.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. And if I'm being honest, I've been in that camp multiple times, and I've really had to catch myself. So I can completely relate to that. But I guess what I want to ask you first is, I don't know necessarily that this is a problem just for business owners. What I am sensing is that this is a much bigger problem that's existing in a lot of different industries. And that is this idea that we're consistently overextending ourselves. And it's not that working hard is a bad thing, but when you become disconnected from what really excites you about your work, and you know whether or not you feel like you're really you know, being challenged in a healthy way, I think that's where we have to raise the white flag and say, hold on a minute.
Yes, I would completely agree with that because that's what I'm seeing in my practices over and over, kind of across industries. Yeah, I mean, people are just really tapped out, burned out. And I think it's twofold or, you know, maybe threefold, but there's the professional aspect of that you're talking about in terms of being overworked or, you know, balancing a lot of people's jobs with, you know, recent economic cuts and things. Like they have more on their plate than really what they can handle, and sometimes not effective boundaries for how to handle that or just unrealistic expectations. So professionally, I think that's totally a thing. And then people have that also in their personal lives, you know, whether it's caregiver stress or parenting stress or just, you know, things going on in their communities, there's that. And then there's the situation in the world at large that is really impacting many, many people, not just in the U.S., but beyond as well.
Yeah. I think there are people everywhere who are feeling that. And to your point, sometimes it isn't just in what we're doing at our job. It can be that we're experiencing that in other ways, whether it's, you know, being stressed out at home, right? Which keeps us from being present with our loved ones. Or maybe it's just feeling uninspired, you know, in general, as far as, you know, life goes. I think it can look any number of ways.
I think you're right about that. And then the consequence of that, like what you said about being disconnected, is when our attention is pulled in so many different directions, when our time is split amongst all those different things, it does make it harder to really be tapped into, okay, what is driving me? What is my purpose for why I've done that? Or, you know, I'm very passionate about what I do. And I certainly have had days where, you know, depending on what the tasks are on my calendar for the day, where I'm like, why am I doing all of this? Like, it's really about serving and helping my clients, you know, live very purposeful lives. But like that starts with me being an example of that also.
Totally. So obviously we've been working a lot on your retreat. I know this is something that you've sort of had a thought about for a while. But I also know that Morocco didn't just, you know, which is where your retreat is for people listening.
Right.
It didn't just like come out of nowhere. There's really a story behind that. Give us a little bit of an idea of, you know, how you actually chose Morocco, because I'm betting for people listening, it's probably not a place that's number one on their list to visit.
Right. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily say it was number one on my list either. However, I have had a bit of a lifelong fascination with Morocco and Moroccan culture, probably since childhood. I think I read some books about it. I probably saw photos of the colorful souks and the spice markets, and I'm pretty artsy and creative, so like the tapestries and the mosaics, and I love that sort of thing. So I always had a draw to it. However, I had never considered ever going to the Sahara Desert. That was definitely not on my list. And if someone had asked me, hey, do you want to take a trip to the Sahara Desert? I would have said no. Because I just had no idea what it really represented. So while there was some draw towards, you know, maybe some of the cities in Morocco, I really was naive about the Sahara Desert and, you know, that it's a large portion of the country and how much richness there is. And so it was somewhat accidental that I found myself there. I took a trip with a close friend of mine in November of 2023. And I had previously been to Morocco earlier in 2019. And she had suggested, well, let's go back and we'll do like a tour of the country. So I agreed to do that. And one of the stops along the tour, you know, one of the days was this trip to the Sahara. And I remember at the time, my thought was like, well, it's not really like somewhere I'd want to go. I would rather spend time in these other places, but like, okay, it's just one night. It'll be fine. And I really had no idea the magic and the profound transformational shift that I would experience from that part of the country specifically.
Yeah, like, I bet.
It made an imprint on a soul level for me.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Because I think for people listening, and I would put myself in this camp, you know, it's not like it's a place I'm burning up to go. And I feel like a lot of people can probably relate to that. You know, they much rather go to maybe somewhere tropical or to one of the European cities where there are more like touristy type things to do. So when you talk about the fact that the Sahara just has this magic about it, it's almost like there's just this switch that gets flipped when you go into the Sahara. And maybe I'm being a little dramatic when I say that, but give us a little bit more context of what that's about.
Sure. I don't think you're being dramatic about that. I am a firm believer that our environment shapes and has an impact on our energy and on our, like, our interplay of how our personality or different aspects of ourself, like, show up or get expressed. And so I've always been a nature lover and I love being outdoors. I just grew up in the northeastern part of the U.S. and so was not particularly familiar with a desert kind of climate or geography. Mm-hmm. And so what I discovered in being there is it's incredibly vast and it is virtually untouched. I mean, once you get outside of like the towns and the sort of the civilization, even the people that live there are largely nomadic. And so there is not infrastructure or cities or that it is untouched, like raw, pure nature or earth. And yeah, it's like sand dunes as far as you can see and these incredibly like deep blue skies. And I think the openness and the vastness of that space does not allow for complexity or layering. There's no hiding. Like there's no way to camouflage or get away from yourself. It's like it's distilled down to the essence. And so being in a place like that really helped me to do that same thing, to gain that clarity, to be very honest with myself about, okay, like where I'm going in my life now, is that the direction that I want to be going? And what do I really need at the core to support me in doing that? Because that is the other thing, is that, you know, desert life, in order to survive there, you have to be skillful, right? The plants, the animals, the people, they're highly, highly adaptive, highly efficient, and there really isn't any room for excess. And so everything that's there has a purpose and a meaning. And it just, it really struck me as like a much more,
it sounds like,
simple way to live, but also a very beautiful way to live.
Yeah. And it sounded like, too, just my feeling as I sit here and talk to you and for people listening, it's not just the feeling that you got, but it was almost like an aha moment. It was almost like you just, you know, all of a sudden you were kind of faced with, you know, okay, I'm going to have to make some decisions here, because it's not like there was anything else that was taking your attention from it.
Yeah. I mean, I really think that the desert can be like a sacred mirror in a way.
Yeah.
Right. And there are actually, when I was there, you know, depends on the time of year and certainly on the climate, but there were some oases that we were able to visit because they had been having unprecedented rainfall. And so there were pools of water in the midst of these vast sand dunes. And they literally were like reflective mirrors where it was like you could look there and you see the sky reflecting right back at you, or your own image if you're, you know, staring into the pool. So there is that aspect, sure.
Yeah, and for people listening who, like I said, who either A, haven't really thought about visiting, like it's not like on their list of places that they're planning a trip to, and two, you know, for people who have never been and maybe they never really want to go, you know, I wonder if you can speak to, you know, just the thought process as to, you know, like you said, you just decided to go one day because you were already there. But I'm just wondering, like, how you can reframe what you're sharing in terms of helping people kind of see that, look, this is like a missed, you know, a real missed opportunity if you don't go.
Yeah. Well, I think particularly for people that are like I was maybe ahead of that trip, feeling kind of stuck in a certain way in their life, or that, you know, things just aren't flowing, or like it's just not going how you want, and it feels like hard and a lot of effort, that sometimes the way to create that shift is to really step away from the familiar and put yourself in an environment that is very different from anything in your day-to-day, because that disrupts all of those habitual patterns and routines, because they just can't happen when the, you know, environment and the place that you are is so dramatically different from what you know.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's just an area of the planet that just most of us living in the US, or particularly if you're on the Eastern coast, like unless you've traveled around the world, you likely haven't seen an environment like this. And so I would say if you're really, you know, looking to create a reset almost on a soul level, even, like, it's a great way to support yourself in doing that without necessarily having to try really hard or make a big effort to do it, because simply putting yourself there in that environment is a catalyst for that to happen anyway.
Yeah, I love how you just described that, because I think that is our reaction. And I know I see this a lot with my other clients too, is that, you know, we think there's an action step that we're missing, and we think that there's something else that we need to be working into our week, or there's some new technique, or there's some new skill set or something that we need to learn. When really the reality is that we literally do have to take a step back and give ourselves an opportunity to kind of reconnect with what's inside of us.
Yeah, I came across something the other day online that essentially said, you can't force inspiration. And while that sounds very obvious, I hadn't ever thought of it in that way before, but it's really true, especially for, you know, those of us that are business owners or entrepreneurs that are, you know, constantly needing to come up with new content or different ways to say things or a different way to help or serve. It's like when we are in that mode and putting that pressure on ourselves, it can feel almost like it's forced and it just doesn't work. Then it becomes a struggle. And so the way to help support yourself in that, to allow the creativity to come through, to allow your, you know, essence and purpose to really reignite and shine through, is not to do more and not to force and not to effort your way through, but really just stop and like give yourself a moment to recalibrate and reset. And I just, that was the main reason that I wanted to put together this retreat that I'm offering, because it's such a powerful way to do that.
Yeah.
Like that happened for me without even my intention of trying to make it happen. It was the result of being there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So let's talk then a little bit about your retreat. But before we do that, talk to us a little bit about your process, because, you know, we're pretty much talking here about what happens when you're, you know, your experience in the Sahara and the fact that you weren't trying and you just allowed yourself to be open, which I think personally we probably need to be doing more of, not just in our businesses, but in our lives in general. But talk to us a little bit about your philosophy, you know, when you, because you, this is probably a common theme that you see with the clients that you work with now. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understand what you're asking me. You mean my philosophy in terms of how I work with clients, or my philosophy of how I was with myself there?
Well, a little bit of both, because you obviously saw yourself as a client to some degree. And even though you let yourself be open to what the Sahara was offering, I mean, you wouldn't have allowed, that experience wouldn't have happened if you hadn't made yourself available, is my point.
Okay, I understand what you're asking now. And yeah, I think that, so one main tenet of my philosophy, whether I'm being with myself or being with a client, is that we always have to start where we are. We have to acknowledge where we are rather than where we want to be or where we wish we were or how things were. It's like acknowledging what is. And so I use a lot of presence and mindfulness in my work with my clients and acknowledgement of where we are. And I also bring openness to that. So a sense of, you know, trusting that each person is the expert on themselves, and that while they may be lacking some skills or certainly could benefit from a perspective shift, like they also know themselves in a way that I never could. And that it's really important to be open and non-judgmental about that. So that openness and that acceptance, that mindful presence, those are some of the core components of my philosophy. And then I think the other piece of that is a very holistic perspective and a true belief in that each human, we all have the capacity to heal, and that given the right conditions, that our bodies and our brains naturally will tend towards that health and wholeness. So sometimes it's just a matter of creating those conditions, whether it's, you know, like working through something from the past that is gunking things up in the present, or just learning different skill set or taking different perspective. And so how I maybe supported myself while in Morocco, kind of having my own process, I really think like the environment lends itself to that, because it was very, I'm going to say easy, it's not quite the right word, but maybe like accessible is a better word.
Right.
For me to be present in that environment in the desert. Like I'm thinking right back now to being on the camel ride through the dunes during sunset. And it just was so like potent, the imagery, the temperature, the feeling of the breeze. Like it's hard to not pay attention or be impacted by it if you are at all just kind of present in your body with what's happening. So that being open, being able to be present, being able to kind of go with what presents or what comes up. I know that those are learned skills, but like that's a lot of the work that I do with my clients is to teach them how to do that. And when you're able to do that, I think you really can extract a lot from the experience.
Yeah, I think so too. And I love that you're like speaking into this, because it's really not a one size fits all approach. you know, which is what I'm hearing you say. There are certain things that you're going to look at with everybody, but it's really their experience. And you're just kind of helping them hold the space to, you know, make it happen.
Yes. And then provide some guidance on how to be intentional about that. And then maybe like course correct a little bit, you know, as needed. But I do also think there is something just fundamental about being in the desert is, you know, not the only place that we would visit during the retreat, but it's where we're going to spend the majority of the time. And there really is something to just being in that place that as long as you are present with it, like the shifts will happen.
Yeah.
You know, it will work its magic on you if you allow it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, in terms of creating that space or that unique vision, it really is also about creating the safety for each participant. I know that sounds like a strong word, but like, you know, change is hard in and of itself. And then to do that when we're not feeling safe and grounded and, you know, like it makes that harder. And so to go in intentionally in a place where it is very calm and there's compassion and empathy and like all of the experiences and things that we're doing are curated and vetted. And like, it's a very safe container that we've created, even though this might be a place that people hadn't thought to visit or might have, you know, been a little bit worried about. It's in the middle of nowhere and that kind of thing. So I do have some awareness about how to create those conditions in a way that is conducive to making those shifts.
Yeah. I love that you spoke to that because I think that a lot of us can know that we need to do something, but number one, figuring out what that is. And number two, realizing that if we really want the change, that we're going to have to do something different is a very scary thought for people.
Change is really scary. Yes.
Yeah. I don't care how well you're aware that it needs to happen. That alone sometimes isn't enough to you know, encourage you to actually do it. I mean, you have to be at the point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think like there's ways to do that ethically, and then there's ways to do that unethically. And so, you know, another one of my values is to really, you know, to never encourage someone or push someone beyond their limits or anything like that. And so, you know, I understand that that takes courage because we make change in the face of the fear. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and for example, any of the activities, not any of them, but many of them are, you know, optional. If it's not your thing, you don't need to be doing that. And none of them are life-threatening or anything. It's not adventure travel, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that you spoke to that because I can see where people might have questions about that. So let's talk a little bit then about your retreat. So talk to us a little bit about what you have planned. First of all, tell us when it is, like what are the dates?
Okay, absolutely. So we're going to start on September 27th in Casablanca because most international flights from North America arrive into Casablanca. So we're going to do pickup there. And then we will end our retreat on October 3rd. So it's 1 week at the end of September, very beginning of October. And it's going to be a combination of visiting some very like sacred city sites or ancient places, as well as traveling through the mountains. Until I had really done this trip in 2023 with my friend, I didn't know that there were so many mountain ranges in Morocco. And so it's a very beautiful drive. We're going to take our time there. So we've split that up over a couple days. So visiting some sites in Casablanca and then also in Fez. And then traveling through the mountains, we're going to spend a night at a beautiful spa that I found in the mountains. It's gorgeous and just be able to really do some good self-care and relaxation and then hit the desert, you know, the following day. And then we will spend 3 nights there and we will visit some of the local markets and a local family. People will have the opportunity to do the camel ride. That really is magic. We're planning to stay in one of the luxury camps there. They really are very nice and they do have running water and electricity and things like that. It's not like tent camping that you may have done when you were a kid or something like that. So, you know, in case people are wondering about that, they really are very comfortable and luxury type experiences. We will do a cooking class. We will do some drum circles there. We will do a picnic. We're going to have some guided like group meditation and experiences, but there will also be time every day for just being able to relax and unplug and have some time on your own to reflect and be with yourself, you know, so that you're not feeling like you've got to be on or with a group 100% of the time. And this experience will be very small. It's limited to 6 participants. So this is not like a massive group travel where everybody piles into a bus. It is not like that.
Yeah. And I think that's important that you're keeping this small, considering not just the fact that you've carefully curated the details, but just that I think an experience like this with a lot of people wouldn't really have the same feel that you're talking about.
Yes. Yeah. And I wanted every participant to be able to have access to me and my co-leader, Ismail, as needed, and that really they could get the time and attention that they need, because sometimes a shift or change or transformative experience can bring with it some unexpected emotional cleansing or catharsis, or a perspective change can really highlight some things in a way that you weren't thinking. And so I want to be, you know, since my background is in mental health, to really be able to meet each person with that if something like that is to happen. I don't want to scare anybody by saying like it will, but it could.
Yeah.
And you know, I want people to be able to feel like they would have the support that they need in the event that that does happen, which is much harder to do if you've got 20 people.
Yeah, I agree completely, 100%. This is why so many of my retreats are smaller too, just for that reason, because I do feel like it dilutes the experience if it's a large group.
Yeah.
So what do you say then to the people listening who maybe think, wow, this sounds great, but I just don't know if it's for me? What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that if they are thinking about it or that they are interested and intrigued, then there is something in it for them, right? Because the people that are just like, nah, this isn't for me, like they're turning off the podcast and not, you know, not interested at all. So if there's something that has got your attention, like that could be, you know, your soul kind of nudging you a little bit to maybe find your edge of, okay, where, you know, if I am interested, but then I have the thought it's not for me, like maybe I'm just coming up against my own resistance. I would encourage you to be curious and lean into that to see, well, if it were for me, what might I gain? Certainly anyone who's in that position could reach out to me. I'm happy to have conversations with you about, you know, answer any questions that you have or help you kind of navigate that. But if you are a business owner, service-based professional, like other professional, and really been feeling stuck or in need of a reset, like this is for you. That is what I created it for, to help people.
So tell us how then people can connect with you.
Of course. So I can give you, if you want to put that in the show notes, like the link for the sales page where people can find all the details about the retreat itself. And then I can also give you my email and my socials.
Yeah.
Okay.
So how can people like directly reach out to you then? Well, definitely the sales page is in the show notes. So anyone listening to this can just go down to the show notes and find your page and like read all about it. But for people to actually connect with you, what's the best way?
Okay. So I would say email or through my socials. So the email is info@LeslieMartinCoaching.
Mm-hmm.
And it's LeslieMartinCoaching.com. I answer that email personally. And then people can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So do you want to know the names on those? Or?
Well, you mostly just go by your name, although one of your Instagrams is Leslie Martin Coaching, right?
Yes, Leslie Martin Coaching on Instagram. And on Facebook, it's Leslie Fotiatis Martin. So my maiden name is in there. But yeah, if you put in Leslie Martin and then you see like the Fotiatis in the middle, that's me.
Okay.
And then on LinkedIn, it's also, it's Leslie Martin and then it's clinician and life coach. And so that's how people would find me over there.
Okay, great. Thanks so much for being here and talking more about this. This has been really fun to work with you on, and I'm just really excited for people to be able to take advantage of this opportunity to visit Morocco and the Sahara and, you know, be able to come home and talk about it the way that you have.
Yeah, thank you so much again for having me, and it has been a really fun process to work through that with you, and I'm just so looking forward to being able to share some of the magic and the benefit that I've experienced with others.
Yes.
They think it's a very powerful transformational opportunity for people.
Yeah. And I just, you know, want to close with saying, you know, I think we can all get to the point where we think we should do something different, but then something stops us. And what I just want to encourage people listening to do is pay attention to that. And, you know, it's like what I always say, having a conversation doesn't really cost you anything except a little bit of your time. And regardless of what you decide, at least you'll have a little bit more clarity around it. So for folks listening, if what we've talked about today has really resonated with you and landed with you, and you would like to know more about this experience, what the next steps are, how you can make sure that your spot is saved, because I know that Leslie's had conversations with lots of people already, so it's really just a matter of time before these spots fill up. Please feel free to reach out to her. You can find the link to the sales page in the show notes, and you can find her email and all of her social media links. So, you know, whichever way is easier for you to connect, you can do that. And on that note, if you know someone in your world that you think this would be helpful for, then please copy the link to this episode and share it with whomever that is as a free gift from me. Or you can come over to my website at www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L, Alison K.com. And just hit the connect button. And that's in the upper right-hand corner of our homepage. And just write to me and we will take care of it for you if you just tell us where you would like for it to go. This is why we've created such an amazing audience and why I always tell everybody as a podcaster, one of the things I love the most is being able to speak and interact with my audience every single week. And I get emails and reach outs from a lot of you saying how some of the episodes that we drop are really helpful and beneficial for you. And, you know, I tell you every week, my DMs are always open. So please feel free to connect with me if you would like to know more about Leslie and her work or how you can share what she's doing with someone that you know. If you think that would be helpful, we will be glad to help you do that. Thank you again for all of your support, for always following us, for subscribing and downloading and sharing our work. This is why we stay consistently ranked high in all the search engines, and why I'm just grateful to be able to be here every week with you. This is why we started our podcast almost 6 years ago today. It's really hard to believe it's been almost that long. But just know that because of all of you, we've been able to continue to do that and why we're extremely successful. This is Allison Katzkowski with Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. That's what I've got for you this week, folks. We will see you next time. Bye.